LaMonty Show, rocking in on a Monday. I'm Monty, that's Jake. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Love this song. Just that guitar. Yeah, buddy. Speaking of rocking, how about the NCAA tournament? What a disaster for TBS over the weekend. A terrible, terrible change to fix something that was never broken. Should Arizona be in the tournament? How is Arizona State in and St. Mary's is not? The National Football League. Richard Sherman signed with the 49ers simply to spite Seattle. Love that story. Do you hate or like Richard Sherman?
I like him a lot more now.
I love it. We'll talk about that. Will the Spurs miss the playoffs? Will LeBron end up in L.A.? Somebody vomited in our Airbnb this weekend.
You say somebody like it was one person.
Yeah, multiple people vomited in our rental property. Not good. Not good. We'll talk about all that. Jake, who are we listening to?
This is Low by Cracker, I think.
Okay, tell me you know who Cracker is.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Because this is a great song. Love it. Absolutely love it. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We really debated on whether or not we hate the NCAA tournament after what happened yesterday on TBS. I think it's probably a little strong to say we hate the NCAA tournament. I can tell you this, though, Jake. I hated what TBS did. And if you don't know, they completely changed the format of how they announce who's in and who's out of the tournament. Usually they have the brackets up there and they just start filling in brackets, 64 bracket spots and the first four in and they usually do that. This year they announced these 64 teams that were in the tournament, then separately put them into brackets. And I hated it. It's one of those things where I just want to say, did you only do this to piss everybody off? Because that's what it feels like to me.
You leave nothing to the imagination. I mean, that's part of the fun,
yeah.
Right? Like, yes. Like that's part of the fun, yes, of college basketball, right? Like of March Madness and the tournament and filling out brackets and all of that. The point is that you want to build up drama. Hey, instead of saying, all right, here are the teams. All right, now we're going to fill it in. Just start filling it in and let people wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the controversy in college sports, the FBI investigation. Straight away, in your opinion, should Arizona, the Wildcats, should USC, should these teams be playing postseason basketball?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they weren't found of anything. Nothing came to fruition. So, yeah, they should be playing. I mean, there was a lot of smoke, like I said last week, but there was no fire. Nobody got nailed down.
Yeah.
And hey, Sean Miller, you didn't get nailed down for, you know, the wiretap and paying Ayton and all this stuff. So he didn't get caught. He didn't get convicted, if you will. So yeah, they should be playing.
But here's the thing I don't understand. How does USC not make the NCAA tournament? I can't even wrap my head around the fact that Arizona is in and Arizona belongs in. I got crushed on Twitter the other day when I said that Arizona winning the Pac-12 tournament showed an amazing amount of character out of those kids. And people are like, oh, character, how much character does it take to be, you know, 100,000 air? And I don't care what anybody says. When your coach is on the verge of getting fired, when one of your assistant coaches and likely the guy that recruited you to play in Tucson is in jail and under FBI indictment, and there's a lot of adversity on this team. When Trier can't play because of a failed drug test, and then he's allowed to and he's not allowed to.
There's all kinds of noise, and they were able to tune all that out.
They tuned all of that out, and I think it would be pretty incredible. I don't think it'll happen, but if they were to somehow pull off an upset in this tournament and win the whole damn thing, I think it would be one of the great stories in sports for those kids.
Yeah.
Not for the university, but for that group of kids.
And it's not about the university at that point. It is about the players, because they are the ones who have to deal with it all. They're the ones who are, you know, they're deciding the fate of the university, essentially, because it would be quite a feat for this team to go out and win the whole thing. And I think if there is a dark horse of dark horses, they are one of them, because they have the most to play for, in my opinion. What other team has gone through what this team has had to go through throughout the season and now is in this position?
And one of the things that really stands out to me is the USC snub, because they are the highest ranked RPI in history not to get into the tournament. And I believe that USC got left out of the tournament because they find themselves in the middle of another basketball scandal at USC. And I think, frankly, the tournament committee and everybody involved with NCAA sports is tired of basketball scandals at USC because it seemingly happens.
Basketball scandals? Scandals on the whole.
Well, yeah, but... Yes, obviously the Reggie Bush scandal was a big deal, and I get all that.
They're saying they have there's history there, and at some point you got to draw a line in the sand.
But USC in particular has had a lot of problems with their basketball program, envelope exchanges on corners, and players taking money, and I mean it's been a pretty long history of that. And I think that really caught up to SC here because they were caught up in the FBI scandal as well. And I think that's one of those stories that stands out. But the other one that really stands out, and I feel like they got a free pass, and you let me know if you disagree on this on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. How on earth is nobody talking about Michigan State in the same light that Arizona, that all of these FBI schools are being talked about?
They did get a free pass.
They got a free pass.
There's no question about it.
Because Tom Izzo is a legend, and Michigan State athletics is a dumpster fire. With the Larry Nassar scandal, women sexually abused, Michigan State didn't do anything about it.
You can make a case that Michigan State's, their violations are twice as worse as what Arizona was accused of.
You could make a state that it was a springboard to continual abuse by Nassar. I mean, the Michigan State thing, they're one of the teams, I think, that one of the two, three teams that has a legitimate chance. Virginia and Michigan State have a legitimate chance to win this tournament.
Yeah.
And it would be horrendous in my eyes, in my opinion, if Michigan State walks away with a national championship this year of all years. I just think it'd be a disgrace. And that brings me to my final point on this. I am really, really disappointed how far NCAA basketball has fallen. Because I find myself continually, I'm not turned off by it, but all of the scandals.
But you're not glued to the TV. And then in addition to that, all of the scandals make you say, well, maybe I really shouldn't be so interested this year. Maybe I should go and watch Tiger this Sunday instead of the tournament on TV. Maybe I should go watch Major League Baseball or the NBA.
And frankly, I don't say this at all tongue-in-cheek. I'm not trying to be a jerk about this. I think the NIT bracket is a heck of a lot more compelling because of the teams.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, the teams that are in the NIT this year are far and away more interesting and compelling, whether that's Notre Dame, Penn State, Oregon, Marquette. I mean, you can go up and down the bracket. BYU, certainly. Utah, certainly. USC is in there. There's a lot more compelling storylines in the NIT tournament than there is in the NCAA tournament, in my opinion.
I agree. I totally agree. I think when you look at BYU's path to this point, it's a little disappointing, and we talked about that on Friday. And then you add USC to that equation, and then you add Utah to that equation, and then you start to understand that while the big tournament might have all these nameplates and might have all the controversy of the violations, the NIT has a lot of great storylines, and it seems like that this year the little brother might actually be a better product than the big brother. And that's a little surprising.
And by the way, I think Utah's got a great chance if they can figure themselves out. I mean, they're 19-11. They had a decent year. Not a terrible year, but certainly not a good year by Utah basketball standards.
Sure. Yeah.
But they've got UC Davis. They would eventually wind up playing LSU, Louisiana. And it's going to be Louisiana because they're a very good team. Even though they're a 60 seed, they're a very good team. If they were to go far, their buzzsaw is going to be St. Mary's, who's a number one seed in their bracket. So it'll be interesting to see how Utah handles that. But man, I love this. I love BYU-Stanford. BYU's had very good success against Stanford. So I like that a lot. Oklahoma State is the probable opponent for BYU-Stanford, which is great. I love it. There is so much more to watch in the NIT this year than there is in the NCAA tournament. So that's just something to keep in mind. Now, also keep in mind.
Yes.
that the NFL free agency negotiations, you can start talking to guys. Teams and agents can start talking now. And Kirk Cousins today, who is going to be a free agent, Kirk Cousins today put up an Instagram post saying goodbye and thank you, a farewell to Washington. And on that post, he tagged the Jets and the Vikings, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what he's saying. He's saying he's either going to go to the Jets or the Vikings, and my feeling is he's going to the Vikings. And I know that's a pretty common thought, and for a good reason. They are the more ready team to actually do something and make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he wants because...
Wait. But you and I have we've gone round and round on this.
Yeah.
And I've told you, there's no chance in the world that I would sign with the Jets, ever.
No.
There's no chance I would sign with the Arizona Cardinals, ever. If you are Kirk Cousins and you
want to win...
I mean,
the are the best choice if you want to win.
But you would go to the Jets.
Right, no, I said that I think there's a decent chance he might go to the Jets because I think he wants to make a lot of money and he wants stability.
Oh, come on. How do you... If you have testicles and they are still attached, how do you sign with the Jets and call yourself a guy that's going to win Super Bowls?
You don't.
You don't. That would
just be,
I think that would absolutely,
it would look
positively be a cash grab. Go sign with Cleveland.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that it would be a cash grab. That's my point. I think if you're going to sign with the Jets, you're saying, I want to make as much money as I can, and I want stability contractually. Instead, what he's going to do is he's going to go out and sign a contract with the Vikings, and he's going to go somewhere where they cut everybody quarterback-wise, and he's going to fill that role. And he's going to hope that they can beat the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah, and look at Periscope saying, sign with the Jets, two-year deal.
That's
why would you do that?
Because he wants to get paid. He's tired of going franchise tag every single year for the last 3 years. He's tired of that
life.
But
that's gotten him paid.
I know that's gotten him paid, but now he wants to get to a point where he doesn't have to worry about that, and he can be the guy.
If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm going to get paid, and I'm going to do it in a long-term fashion with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, it better be a long-term fashion. He can't keep having this. It's not like his career is infinite and never-ending.
Yeah, and with Periscope's idea to sign a two-year deal with the Jets, you're going to lose for 2 years. You know?
But that's a fair point, too. New York, a major market. Certainly a bigger market than Minnesota. I think Minnesota has a lot going for it, though. When you add up the fact that they have the new stadium, They just cut all their quarterbacks.
Yep.
And they had that nice moment in the playoffs against the Saints. I just think, I don't know, there's a lot of nice storylines there, and I could easily see why he would go there if he wants to win. And my suspicion is, it's hard to tell.
How long before the Jets win? I mean, how long before they...
Do they get Cousins or no?
If they get Kirk Cousins.
I think that that's a mentality question. I think if they were to spend money, they could win in 2-3 years. If they don't spend any money and they just sign him and add some run-of-the-mill talent, it's going to be like 5-6 years.
No, I don't. Exactly. Go to Minnesota and we'll see you in February. That's exactly right.
No, and I agree.
This contract signature is all about his best chance to play February football, which, by the way, in case you don't know, the only game in February is the Super Bowl.
And by the way, this is a career-defining move right here. There's a lot on the line for him because he hasn't really done anything in the NFL winning-wise, in the playoffs. Like, yeah, he's put up great numbers.
Yep.
He's got a big arm, you know, 5,000-yard passer. Great, we get that, Kirk. But you're a guy who wants to get paid. And you were the guy who was asking for a ton of money from Washington, and they didn't want to commit to you for whatever reason. So now you're going to go to the Vikings, and you're going to flip the bird to the Redskins, and you need to go and win now.
I just don't – and this is just me. I want to win Super Bowls. That's really what I'm about. I want to win, and I want to win big.
But does he? That's the biggest question because he's never come out. Like, this is why you and I love the Richard Sherman to the Niners thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he came out and said, hey, here's the bird. I'm going to the Niners because you guys cut me.
Richard Sherman, if you didn't hear this story, Richard Sherman says he's only going to the 49ers to spite the Seattle Seahawks, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
I really like that mentality. And by the way, I think the San Francisco 49ers are the second best team in that division.
They are.
And I think he has a legitimate chance to change the way they play defense in San Francisco.
But that's the fundamental difference between Sherman and Kirk Cousins. Sherman is a guy for his entire career that's been out front. He's been out in the open with his opinion. He's made commercials where he's screaming, and he's defined himself as that kind of guy. Kirk Cousins has never been that guy.
Well, and Periscope, again, makes a great point. Good job on Periscope today. You can always watch the show live every day on Periscope. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. But Periscope makes a great point. Richard Sherman's won. He can teach them how to win. That's a great point. It's that mentality.
But does he need to teach them how to win? Garoppolo's been part of how many winning Patriots teams?
Defensively, it's different.
Yeah,
defensively,
that's true. It's
an attitude defensively. And they've had a lot of turnover on that defense. Remember,
but he doesn't make them as good as the Legion of Boom, obviously, but he brings that Legion of Boom mentality.
But I think he needs to prove that he can still be that guy. And with the torn Achilles and the injuries he's had with the elbow and the shoulder.
That's got to be one of the worst injuries you can have as an athlete.
As somebody that needs speed, if you look at some of the cornerbacks that have failed recently, look at Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis is done as a corner because he had a knee injury, and he's never been the same guy. He just can't run down the field anymore. Richard Sherman is going to have to figure out what his legs are. Brandon Jennings is a great example of this. Brandon Jennings, the basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks, he tore his Achilles tendon. His career was on the way out. He decides to go to China, right? He rehabs, goes to China, and he said, I went to China to get my swagger back, signed in the G League, and now tonight he makes his debut with the Milwaukee Bucks. Richard Sherman doesn't have to fall that far because he's an all-pro and one of the best corners in football, but he's going to come to a point with this Achilles surgery where he's going to have to say to himself, yes, I can cut. Yes, I can get after it. Yes, I can still be me. And that's a huge moment in time for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because Richard Sherman is well-paid, he's a really intelligent guy. The rest of his life is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
He still wants to prove that he can be a football player. And I wouldn't doubt him. But anyway, I'm going to go back to Kirk Cousins real quick. Drew Brees is a free agent.
Somehow.
The Saints have said they want to keep him. Drew Brees says he wants to be a Saint. They have until Wednesday to get a deal done. And the deal isn't done. And Adam Schefter on ESPN today reported that they're not close. Other teams are now talking to Drew Brees. This is really dangerous for the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are the Arizona Cardinals, how have you not called on Drew Brees?
Is this not the same situation as Gordon Hayward was in with the Jazz?
You beat me to it.
This is the exact same thing.
When you allow a player who's really good and really in demand, a guy that every team
is
would want.
Is he really in demand?
Oh, yes.
I think he is,
yes,
too.
I think
there's a lot of people that say Drew Brees is not the same guy he was, and I got to adamantly disagree because he has not fallen off.
I'm telling you, Drew Brees has three really good years ahead of him.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't know. And he's going to have to stay healthy. But if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, how am I not calling Drew Brees? Because is there anybody, Periscope, Twitter, Facebook Live, is there anybody listening to this show that would rather have Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees? Because I wouldn't. If I could have Drew Brees over Kirk Cousins, I'd take him every single day. Are you really going to disagree with me on this?
No, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I agree with you personally, but I think that's, again, a question of mentality. What kind of quarterback do you want? Because Kirk Cousins brings a better frame, you know, a bigger, taller quarterback who arguably has just as good an arm as Drew Brees does. He's younger. I don't know. I mean, it just depends what kind of guy you want. I would agree that I think Drew Brees brings better value short-term than Kirk Cousins does, but if Cousins is going to outlast Brees and you want that stability for 5 years, let's say, instead of 3 years, then you're going to go with Cousins.
Drew Brees threw the ball 536 times. Completed 72% of his passes last year.
That's a rubber arm, dude.
For 4,300 yards. They ran a hell of a lot more, by the way. 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you could want.
The stats back it up.
Yeah. I think Drew Brees has a lot left in the tank. I am very curious. My guess is he goes back to New Orleans. But boy, would you be surprised if he went somewhere else. If he winds up with the Vikings, I don't know how you look yourself in the face in New Orleans. Because that guy is New Orleans. Drew Brees loves New Orleans.
And I'm sure he wants to retire as a Saint.
Yeah, he essentially said that. I want to end my career a Saint. Well, then why haven't you guys done a deal yet? Why haven't you done that? Why haven't the Arizona Cardinals reworked Matthew's career? But why haven't they reworked Matthew's contract?
They've asked.
Why haven't they made space? Why haven't they called Kirk Cousins? Why haven't they made an offer to Kirk Cousins?
I just don't think that's who Steve Keim is. He's not a proactive get out and make calls kind of GM, in my opinion. Wow. I don't think he is. We covered that team day in and day out last
season.
He's
not a good GM. Steve Keim is one of the most overrated guys.
You know what the problem is here? The problem is, and the reason Steve Keim still has a job in Phoenix with the Cardinals is because the fan base here doesn't put enough pressure on winning. So when he goes out and gets Adrian Peterson, everybody loses their mind.
By the way, they cut today.
It's like a freaking world-ending move. Hey, we got AP. We're a Super Bowl contender now. No, you're not, because he's not the same guy. He's not the Vikings AP.
Yep.
You know, so I just think there's not a lot of pressure to win here, and that's why they're okay to come to terms with A.J. McCarron instead of Drew Brees or Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I really am surprised that Drew Brees is not a New Orleans Saint today. I am really surprised.
But sometimes those things take time, and I think one way or the other in negotiation, you know, somebody cracks. Somebody will cave in and give in. And inevitably, it's the Saints who don't have leverage here. Drew Brees has all the leverage. He can go wherever he wants. I mean, unless he's hell-bent on retiring as a Saint, he can go wherever he wants.
By the way, one other name that's now a free agent after getting released, Ndamukong Suh. One of the most dominant defensive tackles in the history of the NFL, but one of the gigantic pains in the ass in the NFL as well, is likely to be cut in the next 48 hours. And it's because of his attitude. The Dolphins have made it known that they cut Lawrence Timmons, he did that disappearing act at the beginning of the season. Yeah. Like, that was always an odd
thing. That was a weird situation.
Yeah. Not surprising. But to cut Ndamukong Suh and Timmons together sends a statement that it's time for change in Miami. Ndamukong Suh, I think, still has value, and I think will not have trouble finding a job. But I think we need to stop talking about Ndamukong Suh like he is this dominant defender. And Ndamukong Suh is really good in short stints, and he takes a heck of a lot of plays off. He is not a guy that has a constantly high-functioning motor. He's not a guy that you can trust to be there down in and down out. So to pay him ridiculous money, I think, is a mistake. And on top of that, he creates culture, which is this overused, really undefined word. Yeah. He creates problems in the locker room, is what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He creates problems on the field by stomping on people, by having driving issues off the field, and I would not sign a guy like Ndamukong Suh. I'm sure there are teams out there that will, as I said. I would not be one of those teams. I'm a big believer more and more as we go deeper into the NFL, and this is probably too philosophical, but whatever. Teams are built on good character. Teams that have superstars that are good character, a Richard Sherman is of good character. That to me means more than, okay, Richard Sherman may take a play off. Okay, I can deal with that because I know that Sherman is a team guy. I know he's really good at what he does, and I know he's going to build a defense. Now, that his defense may attack his own offense in practice, like he did in Seattle, that's going to happen.
Hey, I'd rather be on that side of it than giving up, you know, big plays constantly.
Right?
You know?
But I can trust Richard Sherman. I can't trust a guy like Ndamukong Suh.
No.
It's a little surprising that John Gruden's reaching out to Doug Martin, late of the Tampa Bay Bucks, because can you really trust Doug Martin, who's had off-field issues and suspensions? I don't know.
John Gruden's situation's unique, though. It's the only thing he's got going for him. Guys want to play for him.
Tamba Ali in Kansas City. That's a guy I can trust, cut today by the Chiefs. I can't trust Ndamukong Suh.
No.
Phenomenal talent. But I can't trust the guys. So I think that's a big name. That's one for you to watch. Hey, let's switch gears and talk a little NBA here on the Monty Show, because there is a really important game going on in the NBA right now, and it's not going the way of the San Antonio Spurs. Houston is blowing out San Antonio as we speak, 42-28 in the second quarter. Are we watching the rapid decline of the San Antonio Spurs? Is this where the dynasty gets
driven underground? I think it's been over since last year. I mean, I think last year they were just another team, in my opinion. They were not the Spurs that we all knew and loved. The Spurs where, well, they play this different brand of basketball, so that makes them really good. They have ball movement and all these different techniques.
But
they're
I
not
feel
that
like,
team anymore.
Jake, I feel like they got old very quickly. I feel like Pau Gasol looks very old with this knee that he's limping around on. I feel like Ginobili and Parker not being foundational pieces of that team.
Well, look, you can only ride your horses so long. I mean, these guys are not. This is what I was saying about Drew Brees. You don't have an infinite career here. You know, and organizationally in the NBA, you have to get young at the right time. You have to understand. It's what the Lakers did when they still had Kobe, right? You had all these young guys, and you let Kobe, a living legend, play out the rest of his career. And you didn't have any problem with that because you knew you were okay tanking because the Warriors were going up.
Yeah.
The Rockets, not they weren't as good as they are now, but they were on the way up. So you could see in two seasons, which is where we are now, you could see where this was all going. And I think the Spurs failed to recognize
that. They've lost 8 of 10. And if they lose this game, and it's looking like they're going to, they're going to have lost 9 of 11 games. Yeah. They're going to be tied for the last spot in the West with the Jazz and the Nuggets. They'll be tied for 10th in the NBA's Western Conference. This is the end of an era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be very difficult to rebuild this team quickly. Now, they have a really good front office. Greg Popovich is probably the best coach in basketball. But you are really relying on Kawhi Leonard to be something that he's not. And Kawhi Leonard's a great basketball player. But
it's
he's
just
not
such a weird relationship.
He's
right now.
But he's not a leader. He's not a vocal guy. He's not a team guy. Kawhi Leonard gets mistaken for a team guy because his defense is so good. But Kawhi Leonard's not a guy that's going to make the extra pass instead of taking the shot. That's not who Kawhi Leonard is offensively.
But I don't think he's had an opportunity to be that guy either. For the Spurs, he's been the guy. He's been the guy. He's been the go-to guy. So, in my opinion, I think on the other side of the coin, he hasn't had an opportunity to be a team guy. I mean, sure, you can make the extra pass to the rookie in the corner, who we all know is not going to make that, you know, 4 or 5 out of 10 times.
Yep.
So he's going to take that shot rather than give it to the rookie in the corner. But if you put him on a team with better talent, other than guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, I think he may be more inclined to be a team guy.
Now, call me crazy, and this is probably me being a jerk.
Right.
I think the Aldridge signing is where this thing started going sideways.
I think so. Because
he's never been
misread.
The guy.
That was a huge, like a huge misread by that organization, because they thought, coming from Portland, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Because who was Aldridge playing with before he came to the Spurs? He was playing with Dame.
Yeah.
And when that happens, guys tend to look really good. And then he went to guys who were much older than Damian Lillard and Ginobili and Parker, and now we're here.
I think it's difficult, especially because Aldridge has talked about being an odd fit there.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked at times about wanting to get out of there. And he's only in his third season, and his numbers have just been so pedestrian. When he first got there, he went down 5 points a game for the first 2 years.
He's never had to play with another big man at the same time.
Yeah.
And him playing with Pau Gasol was very awkward for Aldridge. And I think that was a huge adjustment. And I think when you go from being a premier post player in the NBA with Portland, again, when you go from that to the kind of brand that the Spurs play, how do your numbers not go down?
So you think the dynasty's been dead for 2 years?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. I just...
They haven't been a force. When is the last time the Spurs were actually a force, a team to be reckoned
with? Last year. I mean, they may have not been the creme de la creme, but they were still a very good basketball team last year. This year, when it's Patty Mills and, Bertans and Pau Gasol limping around, and you're missing guys like Kawhi Leonard, who's only played 9 games. Rudy Gay's only played 40 games. Manu Ginobili, 50 games. Like, you're missing these guys. And I really don't think that they ever thought that it would get to this point where Tony Parker is just coming off the bench and only playing 39 games to this point. I don't think they planned for this, and I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah.
So it'll just be interesting to watch. I thought it was fascinating this weekend to just see the way the NBA began to fall apart. And I want to stay in the West because I'm looking at a team in the Denver Nuggets who are fighting for their lives, and they put up an incredible performance against the Lakers to stay in the tie for the eighth spot with the Clippers and the Jazz. I think the Jazz are playing the best basketball in the NBA right now.
They could be a real pain in the ass if they make the playoffs. I got to be honest. I mean, going to Vivint Arena or whatever it's called, Smart Home Arena and trying to beat that team there is a tall order. You're not doing it. And I think if you somehow get behind in that series to the Jazz, look out, you know?
They're the best defensive team in the NBA.
And I think nobody knows about that.
Yeah, the Utah Jazz are the best defensive team in the NBA. And they're displaying that on a regular basis. We're going to get a round two. And I don't know how many people saw this about the Nuggets-Lakers game. But it's pretty remarkable to watch the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers go face-to-face and nearly come to blows with the head coach getting into it with Murray. And I don't like this guy. I've never been a fan. He is. I've never been a fan of Jamal Murray. He's a great player. But Jamal Murray is somebody that I think is incredibly in love with Jamal Murray. His ego is massive. He thinks he's awesome. Like in LA, he dribbled around Lonzo Ball when the game was ending. And that kind of tweaked the Lakers. They let that go.
He didn't walk around him. He basically, if you're running at somebody, he bounced the ball on one side of Lonzo, ran around the other side of Lonzo, and then met the ball on the other side of Lonzo.
Yeah, he dribbled around him.
And he basically, he showed him up.
And then he was just talking all kinds of junk the other night in Denver. Like, you're not the number three seed in the West. You're not some emerging team. You're a sputtering team that's not playing as well as they should. And you're talking all kinds of junk to a team, frankly, that is on the rise and is probably beyond you next year in the LA Lakers.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating. I thought it was fascinating to see the way that Julius Randle established himself against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I thought it was fascinating to see the Lakers pound the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And totally unexpected.
Yeah, I don't care if they were shorthanded or not. The fact that the LA Lakers manhandled the Cleveland Cavaliers was shocking, especially in the fashion that they did. Now, LeBron dominated Lonzo Ball. That much was very clear. That was a terrible matchup from the beginning. Now,
that
LeBron
was an offensive foul, man. I'm
now, LeBron
you.
Traveled two of the three times, and the third time, he clearly pushed him off. No call. But I think the conversation of LeBron to Los Angeles was front and center against Lonzo in that game. Because if LeBron comes to L.A., does that help or hurt Lonzo Ball?
I think it depends how you use him. I think certainly there's no denying that Lonzo would see less of the ball. But I think in that same token, I think how are you going to turn down the opportunity to sign LeBron?
Well, you don't. That's how.
You know what I mean? And I think you're basically trying to measure what hurt versus help. So all that playoff time that they would get with LeBron, because he would, let's be honest, he would take them to the playoffs in some form or fashion. Lonzo would grow from that. Kyle Kuzma, which I think is going to be a killer in the next 2 to 3 seasons, he would certainly benefit from that. And I think anybody else on that roster will benefit from
that. I'll go as far as to say that Kyle Kuzma helps in recruiting LeBron James and Paul George. If you can't see what he could mean to those two players.
Oh, certainly.
I mean, certainly. And I look at Lonzo's numbers, 32 minutes, 2 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3, had an ugly three-pointer out of the corner that hit the corner of the backboard. But he gives you 3 rebounds, 7 assists. He did.
It's the non-stat sheet energy that Lonzo brings right now that is not measured.
And his defense, his want to, his effort, just the idea that he can feed the post from just about anywhere on the floor. And the way that he ran pick and roll at times with Julius Randle is remarkable. Now, Julius Randle cost Lonzo Ball probably 5 assists because he missed layups and his second chance points were ridiculous. But how, if you are LeBron James and you look at Julius Randle dominate like that, could you imagine Lonzo, Kuzma, Julius Randle, Paul George, and LeBron James as your starting five? Which would push a guy like Brook Lopez, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I don't know how you don't extend him.
You do extend him, but let's be honest. He's only a starter because he's playing for the Lakers right now. He is a phenomenal sixth man.
And he would be great off of anybody's bench.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I just look at what the Lakers have. And by the way, this is without a lot of guys for the Lakers because they have injuries. I just, like Brandon Ingram is the guy you're talking about, but I don't know how LeBron doesn't find Los Angeles super attractive, because they would be a mid-Western Conference team right away.
Oh, yeah.
If certainly. He and Paul George...
They'd be a top five seed, I think.
If with LeBron and Paul George, yes. They're a top five Western Conference team. And I'm not saying that the Warriors are vulnerable, because they're not.
This year is going to be a big test, because right now they're not perceived as vulnerable, but in my opinion, I do think they're vulnerable on some level. This is my biggest problem with the Warriors, and I like the Warriors a lot, as I like the Rockets too. But my biggest problem is they're that team that's got to turn it up a little bit for the playoffs. They play a very chill brand of basketball where they're just kind of rolling through teams. The Timberwolves should have never beat them. The Warriors lost that game. Yes. Shot by Cat was ridiculous. I mean, great turnaround, everything you want out of them. They should have won that
game. I never thought I would say this. I'm disappointed in Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He said something. His play was great. But he said after that game, it's just not the same without Steph.
It isn't.
But you can't say that, in my opinion. I want him to be the alpha male that he's just not. And you're starting to see this broader picture of Kevin Durant, where I think on the floor with the game on the line, ball in his hand, you're fine. But he's a little soft.
Mentally, he is.
It's why he got out of Oklahoma City. It's it's because I think he couldn't deal with Russell Westbrook.
But who could? Who could go there as an MVP candidate and deal with Russell Westbrook
Paul
and
George?
All his antics?
Paul George has dealt with it just fine.
Paul George is not an MVP candidate, though.
Oh, come on.
Not
Paul
this
George?
Year. He's not. He's wow. not there, dude.
I think Paul George is an elite talent.
He is an elite talent, but there's a difference between elite and MVP. There's only a few guys who are MVP candidates.
Okay. I look at Paul George as an MVP candidate. Especially he's proving, I think he's their most important player in Oklahoma City. I don't think it's Russell Westbrook. I think it's Paul George. Because Russell Westbrook is always going to be that guy who's just, he's just quicker than you are. That eventually is not going to win the game. He's not a guy that's creative.
He's not a finesse player.
Paul George, exactly. Thank you. Paul George is a finesse player.
He is.
Paul can get to the rack. Paul can shoot the J.
He's got a savage handle that I think people didn't realize he had in Indiana.
Well, if you force Russell Westbrook to shoot the ball,
you're fine.
Way better off. Way better off. That's the difference between Russ and KD. Kevin Durant can shoot and he can get to the cup. That's the difference between Paul George and Russell Westbrook.
But I think that's the difference between Russell Westbrook and everybody else. Russell Westbrook is a guy who's got to be going 100 miles an hour to be effective. If you think about, just think about like the Olympic team and all the differences between those guys. Everybody on the Olympic team except Russell Westbrook is essentially a finesse player. KD, LeBron, Paul George, James Harden, all those guys are finesse players.
Yeah. Hey, real quick before we get to my guy Jake Arrieta and people vomiting in our Airbnb this weekend, how worried are you for Boston? I say worried. The injuries are mounting up. Kyrie's got this aching knee that they say is not a major injury.
It's
although,
just not their year, in my opinion. This year is not their year, and I think it would have been a nice story if the Hayward injury had never happened and they were able to play together. If their starting five was able to withstand the whole year injury-wise and go roaring into the playoffs, that would have been a nice story. But the Hayward thing happened, and immediately... Toronto happened, which now it looks like they're looking great to come out of the East, in my opinion.
Because Kyle Lowry... is playing the best basketball on that team.
That was one hell of a win against Houston.
It was.
I mean, that was a season-defining win.
It was. And then you find out that Marcus Smart for the Celtics has a torn tendon in his thumb.
Brutal.
That Theis has a knee injury. That Kyrie is battling an aching knee. He said something last night that really freaked out Boston fans. This is a minor injury being reported. He said, well, it worries me because I already fractured my kneecap. And Boston fans just freaked out.
How do you not freak out?
Well, you've already had the Gordon catastrophic injury, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's just not their year. Things aren't lining up the way you would have liked
them to. But if this is not your year, when is your year?
Oh, I think when LeBron leaves the East next year. I'm being serious. Because think about the East. Like, consider the East without LeBron James.
That's
We've
funny.
Never had that option before, right? Because LeBron spent his entire career in the East.
Yeah.
If LeBron James is in the West, if you're in the East, it better be Toronto every year. It better be the Celtics. And the Wizards
Philly?
At some point better
Philly's
make it.
Well, Philly's going to
Philly,
be better
yeah,
next
well,
year.
Exactly. And then Philly's your X factor.
The Knicks are always going to suck, it seems like.
Well,
the Nets
Knicks.
Are not very good. You know, but anyway, I hear your point. Maybe they're bitten by the bug. Who knows? But it's just, if you're a Boston fan, I get your frustration. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Jake Arrieta is a Philadelphia Philly, pending a physical. He gets 3 years and $75 million. Jake, do some quick math. That's $25 million a year. That's some insanity.
He's only getting that money because it's the Phillies. The Phillies had huge amounts of cap space this year. And they should be spending money. I'm not disagreeing with the signing. I love that they signed him. But just, I would tell people to be careful saying, oh, well, I told you so. He's worth $75 million. He's only worth that because the Phillies have money to spend.
He's only worth that because the Phillies said he was worth that.
Exactly. In my opinion,
I love the 3 years.
He's a $50, $60 million guy.
I think Jake Arrieta is going to prove you completely wrong. Because
well,
to be
better,
a $75 million
guy,
but to be a $75 million guy doesn't mean that the team has to win.
No,
it means
he needs
that Jake
to put up
Arrieta
numbers.
Has to pitch well.
Got
to
put up numbers.
Yeah. I think that's a fascinating signing, and it'll be interesting to see how he does, because I don't think they're going to be a great baseball team.
Next
I really
year,
don't.
When Bryce is a free agent, you better look out for the Phillies, because they will be in
no,
position.
No, sorry, man. He's never going to Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I know we totally disagree on this.
I think
he's going to one
that.
Of two places. He's going to be a Yankee, or he's going to be a Chicago Cub. And I don't necessarily believe it's about the money. I think he is desperate to win.
Well,
Bryce has talked about it repeatedly.
I've talked about it ad nauseum.
He's desperate to win. Do you disagree with that?
No, I agree with it. He needs to win. If he's going to be this all-world player when he retires, he's got to win.
And I think he's acutely aware of that. And I think that's why the Cubs are a 95-win team right now today. Put Bryce Harper in there.
They're close to 100.
I think he's a 4 or 5 WAR. He's 4 or 5 wins
yeah,
better than than who he's replacing.
Totally fair. I'm a guy who says though that once you're talking about a team, once you're talking about over under 100 with a baseball team, I think you just got to understand that's a 162 game season and injuries will happen, and I think that will determine if they make it to 100 or not.
Just give me the starting second baseman of the Philadelphia Phillies. How about not even that? How about give me the right fielder? Okay, give me the exactly my point. This team's not winning, whether they had Arrieta or not. That's why I don't understand the spend. When you're going to be Cesar Hernandez in at second base, Carlos Santana that everybody's excited about. Do you think Cleveland let him go because he could help them win the World Series they still haven't found?
Yeah.
To me, I don't think the Philadelphia Phillies are any world beater.
Look, the Cubs are. If he goes to the Cubs, that's a nice little story. If he goes to the Yankees, that's a nice little story. All I'm saying is that
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah. I was talking mainly about the Arrieta impact on Philadelphia. Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta, and Jared Eichhoff are a nice 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Right? That's a nice 1-2-3. Does Hector Neris get you 25 saves?
Maybe.
I don't know. Does a guy like Cameron Rupp, who's your big bat off the bench, they're just not there. They're not going to be there for 3 years.
Right.
Right? So
yeah.
Bryce Harper's not going there. The Yankees? What did the Yankees do today? Oh, they signed Neil Walker to play second base on a 1 year $12 million contract.
And they let Danny Espinosa go.
On a 1 year $12 million contract. That's stupid money. What, like
the Yankees.
That's their burger money. That's nothing to
them.
They
don't care.
And I just am like, oh my God.
This is why when you talk to me about, because we've repeatedly talked about how I don't have the most confidence in the Giants to win the West.
Yeah.
Because the Dodgers have stupid money, and eventually they're going to start spending that money.
But how did the Dodgers
How did the Dodgers not sign Neil Walker?
I don't know how
they'll
sign Neil Walker on
Look
a one-year
deal. Look at the lineup.
Deal.
Bro, listen to this lineup.
This is a stupid lineup.
The Yankees lineup. Brett Gardner, leadoff playing left. Aaron Judge, second right field. Giancarlo Stanton, DHing. Greg Bird at first. Gary Sanchez catching. Didi Gregorius at short. Neil Walker at second. Aaron Hicks in center. And Brandon Drury, who's hitting 300 for the spring, playing third base.
Hitting ninth.
Hitting ninth and
Good
playing
luck.
Third. They're going to race.
They should win the East. It's
now,
not a question.
Greg Bird's never been healthy. Gary Sanchez is a bit of a prima donna.
I don't care if all their role players get hurt. You should win the East.
Greg, they're counting on Greg Bird for 25 jacks.
Which, he's a left-handed hitter in Yankee Stadium. That should be a cakewalk.
Yeah. And now, but what that does, what I love is that puts Austin Romine on the bench. And their utility guys now are really no big deal. And now Gleyber Torres doesn't have to rush to the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
which I love. And
but that's
Tanaka today, by the way, not to be a jerk, Mr. Pitcher Guru over there, but Masahiro Tanaka is throwing batting practice in the spring. I think he's given up 7 spring home runs or something like that. You know.
He's telling you.
We'll see.
He's telling you.
We'll see. 100 home runs combined for Judge and Stanton.
Easily.
Really?
Easily.
So they're both going to hit 50?
Yeah.
Okay, if they hit 50, and are
the only way they don't hit 50 is if people start treating them like they treated Bonds. And
the Yankees
walking.
Are going to hit 550 home runs. That could happen. You know what I'm saying? But I love the Yankees going out and getting Neil Walker. I absolutely think it is a... It's one of the wins of the offseason. It truly is one of the wins of the offseason. Real quick, Jose Altuve went to the White House today with the Houston Astros, and things got awkward between Altuve and Trump. Donald Trump made a joke about how short Altuve is. Altuve was consistently shaking his head no while standing behind Donald Trump. They had an awkward bro shake. It was a handshake that Trump turned into a bro shake. It was really odd.
Yeah.
Should Jose Altuve have gone to the White House? Because Correa didn't go, Beltran didn't go, and Altuve considered not going.
Because Beltran didn't go, I think Altuve shouldn't have gone. Because Beltran is well regarded in the ranks of Major League Baseball. And I think, honestly, the only reason Altuve went is because he said, well, I'm the leader of the team. I got to go. No, bro, you don't have
to
go.
You don't.
And the political landscape is bigger than you being the leader of the Astros. And I think all of his teammates understood that. The only guy who didn't get that was Altuve.
And this is why I applauded the Warriors for not going, because that would have been ugly. It just doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be there, it's cool. Like,
you
just gotta
wear it.
His teammates were happy to be there. There were a lot of guys who loved meeting Trump, and Altuve shouldn't have been there. I rarely side with Donald Trump on anything. I felt like it was disrespectful the way Altuve acted.
Well, see, and that's the alternative view, in my opinion. You could say that he needed to be there because he needed to show out, and that's why he went.
Yeah.
Which I could kind of understand that.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap the show up talking about vomit.
Oh, good.
So we manage a rental property. Jake and I are licensed real estate agents in Arizona, and we have an Airbnb property. And we had a bunch of dudes that came in for their wedding. They had a bachelor weekend.
Okay.
They threw up on the front lawn and in both toilets in the house.
Now, you actually saw the guy lose his guts on the lawn because of the Ring doorbell, the Vivint doorbell.
Right. So we have a security system on that house. We have no cameras. Don't get creepy. Don't call Benson
and
Stabler.
Jesus.
There's no cameras in the house, but there's a doorbell camera on the front of the house, and the doorbell camera caught them throwing up on the grass and collapsing drunk getting out of an Uber.
Ugh.
And they left the vomit on the grass and in the toilets. Should we have charged them for their security deposit?
Yes. No question about it.
So I'm not the fall down drunk guy. I'm the barely drinks guy. I'm likes to have a beer once a year guy.
Once a year.
Well, I'm a bit of a control freak, and we've talked about this. But I think it's weird that guys love to get drunk and fall all over themselves.
I don't get the fascination with it.
Like, yeah, me either.
What did you think was going to happen, or why do you enjoy getting to that point? Like, there was a guy, we play basketball at LA Fitness, right, over the weekend and all the time, and I go to the bathroom, right? And there's a dude losing his, like his life in the stall. Like the guy is just dying in the stall. He walks out like soaking wet in sweat, and I'm like, "Okay, long night last night?" He goes, "Yeah, I had a little too much whiskey." I was like, "Well, at least you enjoyed it last night."
I don't get it. That's just not who I am. I'm likes to eat guy. But I am not likes to drink guy.
Right.
And I don't, like, so they were in celebrating a bachelor party. Why do people find it necessary to go to strip clubs and get hammered the weekend before they get married? Like, I've never understood that. You know, I don't know.
I don't get it, man. I really don't get it. I don't understand how, hey, we need to get wasted to celebrate the fact that you're going to get married.
By the way, I did not charge him for a security deposit.
Was he?
Yeah. And the vomit's still on the lawn, to be honest with you. It's not a lot. You'd have to really know what you're looking at to know what it is. I was not raking vomit out of grass. That was not happening.
No.
I'm not doing
that. No. No chance. But
what I am doing is telling you to say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.